Just how powerful is the Balrog? It actually only appears for a few pages of The Lord of the Rings, but it kills Gandalf, who is undoubtedly very powerful. So how powerful is it, and what is it? Hi everyone, this is Robert. Welcome to In Deep Geek. On this channel, we cover The Lord of the Rings, A Song of Ice and Fire, and The Witcher. Welcome. First of all, let's be clear. When we're talking here about the Balrog, we're talking about the one that faced off against Gandalf in Moria. There are others you can find referenced throughout the Legendarium, particularly the Silmarillion. We don't have a name for this particular Balrog, although he's generally known as Durin's Bane, for reasons we'll get onto in a moment. Anyway, the first indication we have of quite how powerful Balrogs are in general comes from an understanding of what they are. For Balrogs are Maiar, angelic beings created by Eru Ilúvatar before the beginning of the world. Some took physical form and entered Arda. For context, Sauron, Gandalf and Saruman are all also Maiar, so we're talking about something in their order of power. That's why Gandalf tells the rest of the Fellowship that this foe was beyond any of them. Sauron and the Balrogs were corrupted by Melkor, Morgoth, quite early on, and joined with him in his rebellion against Eru. Tolkien deliberately here mirrored the biblical and Miltonian conception of the rebellion against God in Christian theology, Morgoth taking the role of pseudo-Lucifer, with Sauron as his chief lieutenant and the Balrogs as other fallen angels. They took the shape of monstrous fire beasts, and there were quite a few of them. At which point we have to acknowledge a fact that is not often obvious to casual readers of Tolkien's Legendarium. The background and lore of this world do not stand still. Tolkien was forever tweaking it, making small changes here and there to clarify or improve things. All of which, of course, made his son Christopher Tolkien's job a lot harder when it came to collating his wider and deeper work for publication. His editorial comments are full of notes comparing different versions of a story that he had uncovered. And it's clear that Balrogs are one of the many things that Tolkien changed his mind on quite a lot. To start with, early on in the development of the Legendarium, there seems to have been lots of them, powerful but not indestructible. An early draft of the Silmarillion talked of a host of 1,000 Balrogs, and even in the published Silmarillion, there are references to lots of different Balrogs. In this incarnation, they were fierce and strong, perhaps the size and shape of a large human, fiery and armed with a whip or using its steel-like claws. Balrogs in this form seem to have been formidable foes, but definitely beatable. There are several examples of mortals or elves killing them in the Silmarillion. But as we are talking about the Balrog in The Lord of the Rings, I think it's fair to treat it as Tolkien did at that stage of the development of his Legendarium. And that is a very different level of creature. A foe beyond even high-level human or dwarf warriors like Boromir and Gimli, an elf like Legolas, or even the heir of Elendil himself, Aragorn, or all of them together. Tolkien added in a side note to The Lord of the Rings, suggesting that there were at most 7, or perhaps as few as 3 Balrogs. That's already a massive reduction on his earlier idea. One other we know the name of, Gothmog, the Lord of the Balrogs back in the First Age. For those familiar with the Silmarillion, he takes on and defeats some of the most famous names there. He mortally wounds Fëanor, kills Fingon and captures Húrin. He is about to kill Tuor when Ecthelion intervenes and the two of them kill each other. It is a veritable roll call of First Age heroes, and Gothmog is clearly the better of most or all of them. Durin's Bane, the Balrog that we know, seems equally formidable. It was clearly one of the Maiar that fell with Morgoth, then fought and survived through the First Age of Middle-earth, at which point Morgoth was defeated, cast into the void. Morgoth's servants were also defeated or fled. Most disappear from the pages of history. Sauron, however, fled into Middle-earth and went to ground, as did at least one Balrog. This one. It hid itself, sleeping at the foundations of the world, beneath Carathras, the tallest mountain in the Misty Mountains. Then, millennia later, the dwarves of Moria dug too deep and awakened the Balrog. If you'll excuse me for being a dwarf apologist here for a moment, whereas the dwarves accept that they did dig too deep, it's probably unfair to say that they dug too greedily. Digging was in their nature, and they had no way of knowing that a Balrog lived under Moria, a remnant from a war that they had largely kept out of. Based purely on the legendarium, it's probably unfair to blame them for the Balrog's return. Anyway, the dwarves did awaken the Balrog, and the Balrog was too fearsome for them, driving them out of Khazad-dûm. It killed King Durin the Sixth, hence it becoming known as Durin's Bane, and many others. The dwarves tried a couple of times to retake their old home. The attempt we are most familiar with was Balin's expedition, which the Fellowship discovered the remains of when they went through Moria. But by and large, the Balrog was left to roam and live there for centuries. It's clear that the orcs who moved in afterwards are as scared of the Balrog as anyone else is. It's only when Gandalf stands and faces up to the Balrog that it seems to meet a worthy match. We've already noted that Gandalf told the others in the Fellowship that this opponent was beyond them, and it's clear why he thinks that. He recognises it as a Balrog when he sees it. Legolas and Gimli do too. But even before that, Gandalf experienced its power. He placed a shutting spell on a side door that the Fellowship fled through. Then, he says, "Something came into the chamber. I felt it through the door, and the orcs themselves were afraid and fell silent. It laid hold of the iron ring, and then it perceived me and my spell. What it was I cannot guess, but I have never felt such a challenge. The counterspell was terrible. It nearly broke me. For an instant, the door left my control and began to open. I had to speak a word of command. That proved too great a strain. The door burst in pieces. Something dark as a cloud was blocking out all the light inside, and I was thrown backwards down the stairs." So Gandalf tried to stop it coming through a door, first with a simple locking spell, then with a much more powerful word of command. I'll cover that in more detail another time. And the Balrog pushed back with such power that Gandalf was thrown back and down the stairs. Impressive. If anything, its entrance at the Bridge of Khazad-dûm is even more impressive. We read this: "It was like a great shadow, in the middle of which was a dark form, of man shape maybe, yet greater, and a power and terror seemed to be in it, and to go before it. It came to the edge of the fire, and the light faded as if a cloud had bent over it. Then, with a rush, it leaped across the fissure. The flames roared up to greet it, and wreathed about it, and a black smoke swirled in the air. Its streaming mane kindled and blazed behind it. In its right hand was a blade like a stabbing tongue of fire. In its left, it held a whip of many thongs." "Aye, aye," wailed Legolas. "A Balrog! A Balrog is come!" Gimli stared with open eyes. "Durin's Bane," he cried, and letting his axe fall, he covered his face. "A Balrog," muttered Gandalf. "Now I understand." He faltered and leaned heavily on his staff. "What an evil fortune, and I am already weary." Legolas wails, Gimli lets his axe fall, and even Gandalf falters. If we want a hint of how powerful this Balrog is, this should be enough. Its very presence causes even the doughtiest and hardiest of heroes to falter. Its counterspell to Gandalf was too strong for him. When the two of them fought, it was evidently a close thing. Looking through the timelines Tolkien gives us, the battle lasted a total of 10 days, falling down into the water at the bottom of the abyss, in the dark tunnels beneath the roots of the mountain, climbing the stair to the top of the mountain, then finally an epic confrontation there. Two very, very well-matched foes, albeit Gandalf appears to have started the battle already weakened. Gandalf doesn't say much of what happened, but it seems that the elements were on his side. Ice fell like rain on the fiery Balrog, we're told, and eventually Gandalf cast him down and his body broke the mountainside where he smote it in his ruin. But Gandalf also died. Given the length of the battle and the outcome, it's probably fair to say that the two of them were evenly matched. Both being Maiar, this makes sense. Of course, not all Maiar are equal. Sauron and Saruman at their peak were both more powerful than that version of Gandalf, although Gandalf himself came back stronger as Gandalf the White, who was greater then than Saruman. Others were weaker, Radagast, for example, but it was definitely beyond the reach of even the greatest mortal heroes of the age, which makes the Balrog, Durin's bane, fearsome in the extreme, strong, magical, commanding, and inducing fear in almost everyone, among a handful of the most powerful beings in Middle-earth. Tolkien presents Durin's bane as a relic from the time of legends in Middle-earth. This wasn't just a big monster to face our heroes, it was so much more, a nightmare from the past. The only thing the Fellowship could do was run. The enemy they faced then was greater than any other physical threat they would face in the entire story, more than the Ringwraiths, Shelob, or the armies of Sauron. We know the story of the Lord of the Rings so well these days that we almost take this part of the story for granted, the appearance of the Balrog and Gandalf's death. But to readers when it was first published, this was intended to be a huge shock, a creature so terrible the Fellowship cannot stand against it, and its most powerful member killed, less than a third of the way through the story. But taking a step back, Gandalf had to stop the Balrog. Not just to let the rest of the Fellowship escape, but because this was a foe of a level not dissimilar to the others that Middle-earth faced. He was a Maiar, like Sauron and Saruman, immortal and terrible. If Gandalf hadn't stopped him, he would have been a threat not just to the denizens of the Misty Mountains, but to all of Middle-earth. A fiery relic from the age of legends and nightmares. If you'd like to see more Lord of the Rings videos, please click on the link on the left of your screen. Or if you'd like to support this channel, thank you. There's a link to my Patreon page on the right of your screen. That's all for this time. Thanks for watching. I'll see you again soon.